The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is
Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short.
Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hey everybody, I'm Ashley Banfield, and this is Drop Dead Serious. If you've been following this Diddy trial, you have heard it all. The freak offs, the baby oil, the violence, the threats, the celebrity meltdowns. But today, we are flipping the script. Because while the prosecution's case is shocking and disturbing, and yes, graphic beyond belief, there's one question that keeps coming up in the courtroom, and in the comments section too. Could Diddy actually beat the rap? And if he's got a shot at winning the case against him. Remember, the stakes here couldn't be higher, folks. He is being held in a federal prison right now, not even in a jail. He's actually being held in a prison. And the judge refused to allow him bond, right? All while he's waiting for this trial. So if he wins the case, he also gets sprung from months and months of incarceration. So let's get right down to the nitty-gritty. In this case, is it really about a criminal enterprise? Or is it, like Diddy's lawyers say, just a deeply dysfunctional relationship along with Diddy's self-proclaimed swinger lifestyle that's being blown up into a federal RICO case? Let's start with the core of the defense, okay? Their argument is that this was not about crime. It was about chaos, emotional mess, drugs, love, betrayal, and a kinky swinger lifestyle. But Diddy's lawyers are crystal clear. They say it is not a racketeering case. Tenny Garagos, who, yes, is the daughter of uber-famous criminal defense attorney Mark Garagos, she told the jury in opening statements, quote, he's not charged with being mean. He's not charged with being a jerk. And when the government played that now infamous Intercontinental Hotel video, the one where Diddy throws Cassie to the ground in the hallway and then violently kicks and punches her and drags her, the defense didn't even flinch. Instead, Diddy's defense lawyers called it what it was. They said it was horrible, dehumanizing, violent, and terrible. Domestic violence, yes. But they said not evidence of organized crime. And that is a key difference here that the jury's going to have to decide. Because racketeering isn't just about bad behavior or committing crimes, even. It's about structure and hierarchy and enterprise. Prosecution's got to prove that Diddy used his business and his money and his people to carry out a pattern of serious crimes. And they have to prove that he committed at least two predicate acts, two crimes on the list, over a 10-year period, using his enterprise in order to prove racketeering. It's a high bar to clear. So when it comes to Cassie, yes, her testimony was brutal. She described years of what she said was control, abuse, coercion, and violence. But according to Diddy's lawyer, that wasn't the full story. They pointed out timeline inconsistencies in Cassie's story. Did the alleged rape happen in August or September of 2018? They said Cassie stated both dates. They brought up texts that Cassie sent just days after that alleged rape, where she told Diddy she missed him and that she was excited to see him. One explicit message even read, quote, I miss that dick, end quote. Then there were the emails, the gushing emails, where Cassie told Diddy that he was the love of her life, that she cried over him, that she wanted to do the freak-offs, that she'd buy the supplies, even texting him from the studio saying, quote, let's make it a weekend so we can recover from the freak-off, end quote. The defense showed jurors messages where Cassie asked if they needed more lube, where Cassie planned outfits, where, on the way to a freak-off, she offered to go back and grab the iPad that she'd forgotten. The same iPad, she said, that Diddy used to film the kinky sex and then threatened to release those videos as blackmail. And the defense didn't stop there. They introduced an audio recording of Cassie screaming at a man named Sujeet, threatening to kill him if he didn't share with her a sex tape that Sujeet had claimed was circulating and that featured her prominently. The audio was damning. Cassie saying, quote, I will fucking kill you. I will cut you up and put you in the dirt, end quote. And the defense kept pressing issue after issue. They asked why Cassie kept seeing Diddy after the alleged rape. Why did she ignore a FaceTime call from her now husband while she was having consensual sex with Diddy after the alleged rape? They asked why Cassie instructed her friend Carrie Morgan, her best friend at the time, to stay quiet after Diddy allegedly threw a hanger at Carrie and injured her. They asked why Cassie encouraged Carrie to accept $30,000 and sign an NDA. By the way, if you're new to this podcast, every so often Atlas, my dog, is in the shot and he wants a cookie. So you'll hear crunching, which I think is kind of ASMR. And you'll also sometimes hear him cough, but that's Atlas and he's always here. They asked why Cassie accepted a $20 million settlement from Diddy after suing him in November of 2023. Incidentally, the contents and the allegations that were laid out in that civil lawsuit from Cassie formed the basis of the federal investigation and the federal charges against Diddy. It's what brought him to the federal courthouse in southern Manhattan in a trial where Cassie was the star witness. Diddy's lawyers asked why Cassie accepted another $10 million in a settlement from the Intercontinental Hotel after that infamous hallway beating. They asked Cassie why she canceled her upcoming music tour at the same time the money from the settlements was rolling in. Was it a mega payday for her, which meant that she'd never have to work again? Diddy's lawyers wanted the jury to think about Cassie's allegations and then ask themselves, was this trauma or was this leverage? And if you're the defense, here's why things really start to sound less like racketeering and more like a celebrity breakup from hell. Cassie herself admitted that she was jealous of Kim Porter. Cassie admitted that she had a burner phone to talk to her other boyfriend, rapper Kid Cudi. And Cassie admitted that she sometimes felt like a, quote, side piece, that she was very jealous and wanted to be the main relationship in Diddy's life. Cassie admitted that she was addicted to opioids and that Diddy was addicted to opioids too. So the defense asked the obvious question, was this sex trafficking and forced labor, or was it just a toxic relationship between two deeply broken people? They pointed to Cassie's own words that she sometimes wanted the freak-offs, that she sometimes initiated the freak-offs, and that she sometimes enjoyed the freak-offs. But it wasn't just with Cassie's testimony where the defense scored some points on cross-examination. Enter Dawn Richard, a huge name for the prosecution, a former singer with the group Danity Kane under Diddy's label. She was also part of the group Diddy Dirty Money and testified that she witnessed Diddy violently attack Cassie with a frying pan. But when the defense got their turn, they pounced. Dawn's story about the skillet didn't seem to hold up under pressure. Diddy's lawyer, Nicole Westmoreland, pointed out that in multiple prior interviews, including with federal agents, Dawn never mentioned that Diddy hit Cassie with the frying pan, just that he threw eggs at Cassie from the frying pan. So which was it, they asked? Soft eggs or a metal skillet? These are two very, very different things.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
And Diddy's lawyer didn't let off the gas. She pressed Dawn about a death threat that Dawn claims Diddy made after the eggs in the skillet incident. Dawn told the jury that Diddy threatened her, told her to stay quiet about what she'd witnessed, and that, quote, "Where I come from, people go missing if they talk," end quote. But Diddy's lawyers pointed out that Dawn had never said that before. Not to the FBI, not to the prosecutors, not once in seven interviews. Instead, Diddy's lawyers pointed out that Dawn said it for the first time when she was on the witness stand in this trial. And Dawn was asked directly, "Why didn't you mention the death threat before?" Dawn's answer, "I'm doing my best to answer these questions. Those interviews were a long time ago." Diddy's lawyer shot back, quote, "A death threat that you didn't recall on seven different occasions?" And then came the most brutal line of the day. Quote, "Would you agree with me that as time progresses, your story changes?" End quote. And Dawn replied, yes. But the defense didn't stop there. They asked why, if she was so afraid of Diddy, did she keep reaching out to him for years, asking for help, trying to restart the Diddy Dirty Money band, and even sending him kind messages? And when asked why she was suing him now, Dawn replied, quote, "to be made whole," end quote. Diddy's lawyer followed up with, quote, "which means money," end quote. And Dawn replied, yes. It was a strong blow, not just to Dawn's credibility, but to the government's case. Because if jurors think that she embellished even one thing, they may start to wonder what else isn't completely true and who else might be embellishing too on the stand. And that's exactly what Diddy's lawyers are counting on. And then came the Punisher, a male escort named Sheree Hayes. He's a male exotic dancer who was hired by Cassie and Diddy on multiple occasions. He testified that Cassie was the one who set up the meetings, that Cassie was the one who paid him, that Cassie never seemed uncomfortable, never asked him to stop, even told him where to ejaculate. He said that Diddy watched, directed, and was assertive, but that Diddy did not seem to force anything. And then there were the assistants, David James and George Kaplan, employees of Diddy's, who testified that they were ordered to do the drug runs and to buy baby oil and to set up the hotel freak-offs. But they were also men who said they admired Diddy, even called him a god among men. One said he still texts Diddy every year on his birthday. They sent condolence messages when Kim Porter died. Men who said that he taught them what work ethic looked like. And men who said they enjoyed the perks of working for Combs Enterprises. These were assistants whose job it was to clean up the filthy aftermath of the freak-offs. And despite all of that, George Kaplan said he stayed in touch with Diddy and that he still likes Diddy and said, quote, "I felt guilty I didn't speak up, but I was lucky to work for an icon," end quote. So where does all that leave us? Right now, we're still in the middle of the government's case. The prosecution is marching forward, and they're doing a hell of a job. Witness after witness, photo after photo, and video after video. But even without putting on a formal defense case yet, Diddy's lawyers are chipping away at the prosecutor's case. What they're saying again and again is that none of this adds up to racketeering, that gross behavior, even abusive behavior, doesn't equal organized crime, and that it certainly doesn't make Diddy the head of a criminal enterprise. The jury has to believe that Diddy went far beyond being just a terrible boyfriend, a horrible boyfriend, an abusive boyfriend, who committed crimes, yes, like domestic violence, that he's not charged with.
And so there's been a lot of evidence in this case, really horrible evidence about him as a batterer, as not a nice human being. And that's great. But you know what? I think the government is still reeling from Tenney Garagos's opening statement. I think she did a great opening statement because I think what she did was I think the government really thought that they were going to run away from him being a batterer. And they embraced him being a batterer. And when I say embraced, I didn't mean it endorsed it, but accepted it. Look, they said this is a case that you're going to see some horrific things that our client did. And they didn't, you know, make him look like he was a good guy. They said he did some horrific things. And that was important for them to do because that is to take the blunt out of the government's case.
So here's what I see if I'm just the 13th juror out here, okay? Yeah. I see a pattern of behavior that is being repeated over and over and over with every single witness, whereby the guy at the top of the enterprise uses all of his staff to lube up hotel rooms, to hire prostitutes, to buy them tickets, to fly them Mann Act style over state lines. That's sex trafficking. I see bribery. Hey, take this stack of money and make sure nobody sees the video of me beating up my girlfriend. That's bribery. I see extortion. It's hey, shut up or bribery. Your career's over. Hey, shut up or you go, you know, snitches get stitches. Those are all the predicate acts for, say it with me, racketeering. Why are you not
seeing
that?
They have to prove an enterprise, Ashley. They must prove an enterprise. Those are all bad acts, no question. But they need to
They're
prove
all
an enterprise.
His staff.
And his staff is not an enterprise. Then anyone is a racketeering enterprise. So all my staff, anything, if I did something wrong, all I become a racketeering enterprise because I have staff, right? So if someone has their staff aid and abet them doing something, that makes them a racketeering enterprise. Negative does not.
I'm going to argue with you. I am going to argue with you.
This is the first racketeering case of this kind on the books, period, end of story.
It doesn't mean that sex isn't as bad, like sex trafficking isn't as bad as what the mob was doing by intimidating people into shutting up so that they could carry on their criminal enterprise.
Sex trafficking, I think, is worse than what the mob's doing. What, you know, loan sharking or gambling or collecting
killing,
garbage?
You know,
like
killing and chopping people's pieces off. But
that's the old mob. But putting it aside, sex trafficking is terrific. I don't see evidence of sex trafficking. Sex trafficking? Trafficking people for sex? What are you talking about?
So, Joe, the way it works, you buy a ticket to fly a prostitute into wherever they flew to because they flew all over the world and they flew across the states. That is sex trafficking 100%.
No, it's not sex trafficking, Ashley. That's the violation of the Mann Act.
It's illegal prostitution across... But the
That's called the
Mann
Act violation.
Statement.
That's not sex trafficking. That is not sex trafficking. Sex trafficking has to be
but
without
it's using,
consent.
Okay, but it's using your staff to buy the tickets to arrange it and bring them in.
That's
Mann Act and using your staff to do it.
That's Mann Act. If it's accepted, that's not sex trafficking. Sex trafficking has to be without consent. I've said to you from the day one we ever talked about this, this case will all boil down to the issue of consent.
Cassie has said...
I'm sorry.
Cassie has said...
When Cassie Ventura testified that the first time she brought this up was to a lawyer to get money, and, you know, I'm sorry, you get the question, women who say, oh, I never went to the police, I want to justify, but I never went to the police, I asked for $30 million for a book manuscript, but that didn't work out, I said, I want $20 million for a lawsuit. I filed the lawsuit and I have text messages that are completely inconsistent with my on-trial testimony. I'm sorry. That's
it's
fair
a good
game.
Point, but I do think, Joey Tack, I do think in this day and age, we now understand domestic abuse way more. Why wives have stayed for 30 years
domestic
with husbands
abuse.
That
He's
beat
guilty.
Them senseless. We
guilty.
Know. So
guilty.
What I'm saying, hold it. Wait, I'm not finished my thought. And that is that it could very well have been that she was taken against her will across state lines to be sex trafficked because she did not want to be in that freak off. She was running from that damn hotel room. So I think there are ways they could easily prove sex trafficking. She was not into it all the time.
not into it all the time. Sometimes she set up the freak off. Sometimes without even him asking.
Sometimes she set up
yes. Sometimes
yes, but not always.
How does the jury decide?
Well, when you're bruised and you have a fat lip and you're choking on urine, that's how you decide. You're bruised, you have a fat lip, you're beaten in the hotel hallway.
He's guilty of domestic violence, but that's not a federal crime. That videotape is a horrific, gross tape. And that is why they keep showing it to the jury. But that's not evidence of sex trafficking. It's not evidence of racketeering.
Okay.
It's evidence of nothing but a horrific human being doing something horrible to a woman. Period.
And the bribery to shut everybody up about it. Here, take the money and keep this quiet. I see all sorts
that
of
worked well.
Acts. But
that worked
Joey,
well.
you gotta come back.
The jury has to believe that he was running a coordinated multi-state sex trafficking ring and using his enterprise to do it, using his employees and corporate funds to carry out certain crimes called predicate acts. And considering Diddy's lawyers are getting paid an exorbitant amount of money, he better hope he's getting his money's worth. We'll be here for every moment of this trial as it unfolds, but make sure you subscribe because I'm doing a daily recap of this trial. And I'm dropping bonus episodes all the time featuring interviews with players in this story. Make sure you hit subscribe so you don't miss any of the critical details and analysis and the bonus episodes. And by the way, full transparency, I, along with many other people, are being sued by Diddy for our reporting on this story in cases that aren't even resolved yet. I'm Ashley Banfield, and remember, the truth isn't just serious, it's drop-dead serious.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.